Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Steel Strips Wheels Limited, hosted by Smiths Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Hiranandani from Smiths Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Steven. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Smiths Limited, I welcome you all to Q2 FY23 conference call of Steel Strips Wheels Limited. We are pleased to host the senior management of the company. Today we have with us Mr. Mohan Joshi, Executive Director, Mr. Naveen Sorath, CFO, and Mr. Pranav Jain, DGM Finance. Mr. Dheeraj Garg, sir, is unable to join the call today due to important client engagements. We will start the call with initial commentary from the management, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Now, I hand over the call to the management team. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi, good evening, and I welcome all the participants on this call. And first of all, happy Diwali to everyone who is participating. So I'll start with first a comparison between the current Q2 versus the last year Q2, and then probably I'll give you some glimpse on the comparison of H1 versus H1. So in Q2 current year, we have done a top line of 1,084 crores with an EBITDA of 120 crores. The similar number last year was 961 crores in terms of top line and 140 crores in terms of EBITDA. PAT for the same period in Q2 current year is 54.6 CR versus 62.8 CR Q2 last year. The same numbers for H1 current year versus last year. So H1 we have done a top line of 2100 CR versus 1640 CR that we did in H1 last year. EBITDA of 230 CR in current H1 versus 240 CR in H1 last year. PAT of 102 CR in current H1 versus 113 in H1 last year. So in terms of number of wheels that we sold, in H1 we sold almost 9 million wheel rims, which is at par with the number of wheels that we sold in H1 last year. If you look at in terms of the split in alloy, I guess the alloy in Q2 current year is 340 odd crores versus 157 crore in Q2 last year. In H1, the alloy number is 620 CR versus 292 CR. Similarly for exports, in Q2 current year, the exports were 84.8 CR versus 306 CR. In H1, the number of export in terms of value is 157 CR versus 487 CR in H1 last year. Now we can probably start with the Q&A round.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Devansh Nigotia from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just a couple of questions. So one is export. I wanted to understand when we, in March 22, we shared the realization per wheel for exports. That comes to 1500 rupees per wheel. But when we look at the customer mix which we shared, which is recreational wheels and commercial vehicles, especially in US, so that should typically be a higher realization product. So you can just share some perspective there, and also on the demand, why has our outlook changed significantly over the last 1 year? While when we look at the commercial vehicle sales in USA, that has not typically come off in the similar fashion. So if you can also just throw some soft points over there, that would be really helpful.
Thanks for the question. I think the export side is primarily driven by the base effect of last year, and definitely there is a pickup in the truck business, which we saw in this very recent Class 8 truck release, wherein the number went from 20,000 to 56,000. Otherwise, the number has fallen from close to 50,000 number of peak to close to 18,000 numbers to bottom out in last month. And we are still watching that whether it's a one-month wonder or it's going to be a consistent kind of a performance. But as we speak from a perspective of demand outlook, I think it still looks like that the drop is going to be around 40 to 45% for the financial year 22-23, given by the fact that there are multiple fronts which are opening up. One is obviously the inflation factor and the demand outlook from the developed nations, where it has materially, deteriorated in all the segments, be it the PV side, be it the truck side, be it the these trailer side, and we are seeing some green shoots coming in, and that's why we are hopeful that the H2 is going to be better than H1, looking at the visibility that we have right now, and we feel that apart from inflationary and the economic scenario which is there, there are further inventory related impacts wherein the freight rates have collapsed and it has resulted into shorter lead times to deliver a product from India to America or India to Europe, and it has also streamlined some of the extra baggage that these guys were carrying because of the supply chain disruptions that they faced last year. So I think for the full year, the way that we see it, I think the drop should be between 40 to 45% on a basis of what we are visually watching it here, and the green shoots are visibly seen, but we see that this is going to be a challenge for this current financial year, wherein the pickup in the alloy wheel segment of the sport is going to be the next challenge, where we are expecting some hope and development is coming on stream and mass production is also on stream. Truck segment is consistent. It is not deteriorated very badly as against the last year. The major impact which is coming in from the perspective is from the PV, from the trailer and from the high-speed trailer markets.
Okay. And so what's the realization per wheel in our exports currently?
In terms of the total export realization per wheel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we
have the data? So for Q2, the average realization is coming at around 2677 rupees.
2677 rupees per wheel.
So to add to it what Mohan has said, so we are expecting, let's say, a decline of around 40-45% in export. But despite that, we still maintain our overall guideline for the top line. So we still are going ahead with the number of 4,100 CR that we started at the start of the year. So whatever loss that we are seeing on the export side is getting fully mitigated, one, by the domestic steel business, and second is from the alloy business side. So as I mentioned at the start, that in H1 itself, we have already done an alloy wheel sale of 620 CR versus 700 CR that we did in the entire last year. So we expect this number to close at around 1200 crores. So there will be a jump of almost 500 CR that we will see in the alloy wheel side, which will fully mitigate whatever loss that only we will see on the export side. And both the businesses being probably similar in terms of margins, so there will not be any hit that we are expecting in terms of our margins per se.
Okay. And in case of alloy wheels, so the scale-up that we have done in such a short span of time when we've acquired almost 30-35% market share, while there were also players which were in the market for a very long time, for more than 10 years, but still they are at, let's say, around 500-600 scale. So if you can just share some perspective on, what's our right to win here, and what is also the current import duty structure for alloy wheels in India? I think there was some duty structure which existed some time back. So what is it right now? And also the total alloy wheels which are currently imported in India.
So currently alloy wheel imports are almost nil because obviously post-COVID there's a lot of change in the mindset in terms of internalization this. And entire localization of the subject is done. And I think any specific wheel which is having some specific requirement is getting imported, otherwise there is no import.
currently the market is around 7 million wheels annually, and we feel that this market has a potential to grow at between 12 to 15% CAGR going for next maybe 3 to 5 years. The current penetration of the market is close to 30-odd percent, 30-32%, and we feel that it is very well inclined to move towards closer to 45 to 50% penetration. Given that we have a smaller car versus larger car balance in the country, I think 50% is what we should reach, and we should stabilize our penetration. And once we start stabilizing this SUV culture in a country like India, we feel that this 50% will be challenged going forward. Within that, I think the current capacity as we have is close to 3 million. It will be upgraded to close to 4 million by March 2023. And even that committed capacity will be to the tune of 80-85% will be served to the customer where the order booking is already happening. And we feel that the response to the customer in terms of concept to mass production is the key. And I think that is the success that we have delivered in steel wheels, and that is the success that we have delivered into export markets in terms of steel wheels. The similar kind of concept is very much clear onto the alloy wheel side, and it will be replicated to the export side also. So timing to the market to respond to a customer, to have best quality and at a best cost and best delivery terms with no lead time to be wasted in terms of concept to mass production is the key, where we feel that we are a preferred supplier to the customers.
Okay. When we look at our operating expenses for March 22, so the stores and spares, which used to hover around 110 crores, it increased to 250 crores. And even the freight cost, saw a sharp bump up. I think it used to be around 60-70 crores, and that came to 240-250 crores. So there is an impact of export mix, which increased, which might have increased the freight cost. But also there were very high shipping rates. So how much of that were we able to pass on to the customer, and how much was the impact that we had to face? So if you can just share some perspective there, and how these two costs will actually evolve going forward.
So from an export perspective, shipping costs was never a concern because customer was paying through it. From $5,000 to $25,000, customers had paid through it. I think maybe a 1% or 2% of the customers were onto the fixed contract where negligible amount of impact is there. Otherwise, freight is not a big worry for us. From a perspective that domestic diesel rates are high and it is still impacting the consumption from our side, and the prices are still not dropping because of the government intervention. So that remains elevated, where we feel that sooner or later, we will see a dip coming in onto that side, which is going to be an EBITDA greater. And at the same time, I think all the inputs which are, have gone up substantially higher in previous years, from paints, from big wires, from gas, from other inputs, will sooner see a dip. And we feel that that will be EBITDA greater in H2.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. This is it. I'm glad I get back.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, what is the outlook for the domestic market? How you are benefiting in safety in passenger vehicles in the UV segment? How much difference is in the reaction for vehicles in SUVs versus the car?
So I guess that this last quarter we were doing one exercise in terms of how the domestic market numbers pan out for us in current year versus the last year. So I guess to our surprise, I guess the number that probably we expect to achieve in current year with respect to domestic steel side will be more or less at par with the numbers that we had in FY19, which was the peak for us prior to last year. So I guess barring two-wheeler and three-wheeler segment, which probably will still be lower than the FY19 number. Other than two-wheeler and three-wheeler, all other segments, be it passenger cars, CV, or tractors, I guess will be in line or slightly better than what we had in FY19. So there is a growth that we are seeing in the domestic market across all the segments.
And what is the benefit you are getting because of the passenger vehicle shift into the UV segment? Now, the UV contribution is around 45%. So, and a realization per vehicle in the UVs is much better than the cars.
I think UV, you know, the UV culture will help the alloy wheel side, where the penetration has moved from 27% to 31-32%. And the more this UV goes above the sedan and above the smaller cars, it will help the alloy wheel segment, which is obviously an indirect benefit to us. And because a wheel is a EV agnostic kind of a product, so both the vehicles will use the wheels. So all in all, any change in this mix will materially be positive for our company.
So how is your market share in the passenger vehicle and especially in the SUV segment?
So we don't see, you know, in the SUV segment or something. I think we see it from a perspective of overall market. We are at close to 51-odd%. And I feel these market share will always be shaky because some product comes good in sedan, it gets picked up. So it is very important to see the holistic picture of the market. And at 51%, we are healthy. And within that 51%, I think the top-selling models is where the focus is. So wherever the names you can name it, be it Nexon to Creta to Alcazar to Punch to Scorpio to XUV500 to Grand Vitara, we are there in steel as well as aluminum, barring Maruti.
Okay, so what is the difference in the realization per vehicle in the steel segment, the car versus the SUV segment?
Car versus SUV. So I guess the overall EV segment will have a value of around 800 rupees. I guess the UV segment will be almost 1400 to 1500 rupees.
In steel side.
Steel and aluminium, it will be almost 4x.
And sir, what is your market share in the commercial vehicle?
Close to 55-57%. It will further go up with our long-term agreements with the company Ashok Leyland. So I think in financial year 22-23, we expect this number to be closer to 60-odd% in terms of MHCVs business.
Okay. And, sir, you are also looking for the acquisition of the AMW. So what is the progress now and how much increase in the capacity expected post this? And how much cost of acquisition, how much incremental revenue it can be added?
In terms of incremental capacity that will offer will be around 6.5 to 7 million to start with. So theoretically, that plant has a capacity of almost 13 million, but that may not be available upfront. So 6.5 or 7 million will be to start with, and then probably there will be some incremental maintenance capacity that needs to be spent to increase it beyond this capacity that I have stated. In terms of outgo, I guess the overall outgo will be under 150 CR. The matter is currently pending with Supreme Court. So this probably will get sorted out either by around end of Q4 or maybe at the start of next financial year.
Yes, sir. And my last question on the gross margin side, despite fall in the key raw material prices and increase in the mix of the alloy wheels, gross margin contracted in this quarter. So how is the outlook ahead in terms of the gross margin and the EBITDA margin?
I guess it will not be appropriate to look at it in terms of just value. I guess we need to, let's say if we are comparing it with H1 versus H1, we should also realize in last year H1 also has a benefit of steel prices. So last year, I guess in H1 itself, we had a gain of around 50 crore sitting there. So the EBITDA of 240 crore that you are looking at is actually 190 CR. If you compare it apple to apple versus current year H1. Secondly, there is a steel increase which is sitting in their sales value for current H1 versus H1 last year. I guess that value itself is around 200 CR. So if you actually want to compare it in terms of percentages, you remove 200 CR from my top line. That is 2100 crore minus 200 is almost 1900. And you compute that value. That is 230 crores of EBITDA divided by 1900. You get a number of almost closer to 12%. Similarly, for H1 last year, you remove the one-time gain of raw material, which is almost 50 CR. So 240 minus
50 to almost 190 on a top line of 1640 CR. You get a number of 11.6. So the margins have actually improved versus last year. The another benchmark to look at it is, let's say, EBITDA per wheel. So Q2, we had an EBITDA per wheel of almost 255. Q1, we had an EBITDA of 256 rupees per wheel. And for the entire last year, including the gain of raw material, the EBITDA per wheel was 260 rupees. And if you remove the RM gain of almost 60 crore, the number was closer to 230. So there is, I guess, improvement in all respects, whether it is EBITDA per wheel or in terms of percentages. But that needs to be compared apple to apple.
So that means you want to say that your...
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but for any follow-up questions, may be requested to rejoin the queue, please.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Walekar from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Sir, if you can just elaborate on this EBITDA per wheel. So in quarter two, the absolute EBITDA has came down by 15% over the last year's quarter. So what explains that in terms of EBITDA per wheel?
So let's say we are comparing current year Q2 versus the Q2 last year. So EBITDA in terms of value in current Q2 is 120 CR. Versus 140 CR that we had in Q2 last year. But in last year Q2, there is an RM gain of almost 30 CR. So that 140 crores, if you want to compare it with the current quarter, is actually 110. So it is 110 versus 120 crore of EBITDA in current quarter. Similarly, in the sales that you are looking at, that is 1084 CR, there is an impact of 70 crores because of the inflation. So you need to account for that. So if you want to compute the comparable percentages, that will be 120 crore of EBITDA for current quarter on a top line of 100,010 crores versus 110 crores of EBITDA last Q2 last year on a top line of 960. So you will get a percentage closer to 11.9% for current quarter versus 11.5% for Q2 last year. I guess this is how it will be comparable. I guess if you compare it with the inflation, the percentages probably will give you a misnormal picture.
Okay. Okay. Couple of more housekeeping questions. So coming to the volume breakup by segments, if you can list how much volumes we sold for each division and then in terms of absolute revenue.
Okay, so for say let's say Q2 current year, in terms of total domestic steel wheel sale was 36.67 lakhs. That translated into value of almost 570 CR. Alloy was 7.6 lakhs, almost 340 CR. And exports was 3.17 lakhs of almost 85 CR.
Okay. And one last thing is on the guidance. So what I understood is that you are reiterating the guidance which you have shared.
So in terms of top line, we are still moving ahead with the guidance that we shared at the start. 4,100 crores is the number that we are sticking with. I guess we have already done 2,100 CR in H1. I guess we'll be able to replicate these numbers for H2 as well.
And about EBITDA?
On the EBITDA, we are with a number of 450 CR with an upward bias of another 5%.
What about CapEx for FY23?
So I guess there are a couple of projects which are there on the table. One is the expansion that Mohan hinted at. So we are already expanding our alloy wheel capacity by another 1 million. I guess that project itself will cost around 110 CR. Other than that, there are maintenance capex, which normally remains in the range of 25 to 30 CR. And then there will be additional 15-20 CR that we are spending on automation.
Okay, and this excludes the AMW capex?
CR will be the capex that we intend to spend in current year, but most of it will get funded by accruals.
Okay, we check from our side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Suresh from Samatva Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question would be on the alloy wheel part. So as you stated earlier, the additional 1 million unit capacity is expected to come by the end of the financial year. And so I just wanted to know, you said 80 to 85%, you know, we are expected to have that capacity, you know, immediately. So how much of that would be the export orders? Just broadly, if you could state.
So out of the total capacity that we have, 4 million as on, say, 1st of April 2023, the order booking which is happening right now is to the tune of 15 to 20,000 wheels per month. Because, you know, domestic market is the focus. It should not happen that with the lesser amount of capacity in our hand and we commit something and we make a mistake. So to start with, it is going to be between 15 to 20,000 and eventually it is going to be going between 30 to 40,000 wheels per month. That is it. So 10% of the capacity will be for exports to start with.
Sir, and to increase, so if I'm not wrong, our final goal is to reach 10 million units in alloy. So do we have space within our current facility or how do we plan to expand post 4 million wheels?
So if you look at the current plant, which is situated in Mehsana, is on a land bank of almost 70 acres. So of this 70 acre, we have utilized almost 50% of that. So the current facility is utilizing 34-35 acres. So we are still left with 35 acres where we can replicate whatever facilities that we have created up till now. So we can additionally create another 3 million to 4 million. I guess the only decision that needs to be taken at our end, whether we want to put up the entire 8 million or 9 million in the single location or we want to spread it out. I guess that is a decision that may be taken at the right time. But as far as the current land bank is concerned, we can actually double our capacity in the same location.
Got it. Sir, and on the Maruti part, do we see us entering into, you know, Maruti, like it's been considering we are into all the other companies, do we expect to enter Maruti anytime soon?
The market is fragmented between the vendors. And I think that Maruti being, served by us to the tune of 55 to 60% in terms of the steel wheel requirement, I feel there should not be any problem. But as you always have, few vendors which are serving the customer and they're the first priority, I feel Maruti with the kind of size that they have and with the kind of presence that they have, they are present in two locations in North. Third location is coming up. Their fourth location is in, Gujarat. And the fifth location, by the way, of Toyota is in Bangalore. So you can imagine that 1.7 lakh cars, they will not be doing it with two vendors. That is for sure. And we are at very advanced stages of getting into Maruti where we feel that this financial year, we should have some good news.
Sir, and one last question, if you could just give us the capacity utilization across the plants for Q2.
Please, one minute. So it will be done based on, say,
H1?
H1.
For the Dhofar plant, it's around 87% utilized. For Chennai car plant, it's around 62% utilized. Chennai truck plant is around 50% utilized. And then Jamshedpur plant is at 66% utilized. And then Mehsana plant is at around 93% utilized.
Great. Thank you so much. And wishing you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Rajat Setia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, can you please help us understand a few things about what we had mentioned in our last call about getting into new products? We had mentioned that we'll get into motors, software for EVs, and some products where we will be making alternatives to imports in India and some, you know, aluminium-related die-casting opportunities for the export markets. Can you please help us understand what are we thinking about it, how strategically they will be a fit to our current portfolio?
Okay, so on motors and controllers that we spoke last time,
I think there are a few deliberations which are going on right now because the capex is not very large in that, and the opportunity size is fairly very, very large for a country like India, where EV is moving towards it. It obviously syncs very good with us as a product because we are maker of the wheel. So wheel plus motor plus controller is a one big assembly where the customer has to not deal with five vendors but with one vendor. So that's a strategic fit for a customer. And unfortunately, in a country like India, we are not having our own controller in most of the cases. It is mostly from China or Korea or anywhere else with very obsolete kind of a technology which is working out right now in the country. So there are 3-4 deliberations which we are going on, and with the help of the customer itself in terms of the interface, once we get a go-ahead, then these deliberations will be revealed to the market with most likely best-in-class technology and ready to move in the product. So it should not be a product which is going to be done over maybe next 3 years or something. The deliberations are happening where the product is ready and we are trying to assess it by a technical team, and there are financial delegations and the terms of the agreement and all that. And once the customer gives some bit of highlight towards it, it will be publicly revealed. And we feel that we are close to few of the candidates, but till the time it is very, very sure in terms of the timing the market and entering it immediately, there is no hurry to do that.
So two follow-ups on this. One, you mentioned controller technology is not in India. So when we do motors, will we be doing the controller?
Yes.
Okay, and is there anybody else also doing the same thing in India, or so far nobody's trying that?
People who are trying to do that, but I think it is obviously, the market is going to be so huge. I'll tell you very frankly, currently we are selling say 13, 14, maybe 15 lakh on an average two-wheelers every month. I will not say that 100% of the thing will be getting converted into EV. It will take that bit of journey to travel, but I think over the next 3 to 5 years, I feel 30-35% of the market will be converted into EVs, especially into 2 and 3 wheelers. And I feel there's a huge market for motor plus controller, where they speak to the vehicle and it unloads the work of the vehicle manufacturer. So the controller who can speak to the communicator and can communicate with the vehicle and will be advanced in technology will be the winner. So I will not say that there will be only one player. There will be 5 players. And I think that everybody will have good pie of skin in the game. And with technology as the advancing factor, whosoever will be advanced to meet a quality like a Tesla or a Rivian, I think that's where the differentiation is going to be.
So this is basically the motor control unit that we will be doing, right?
So it's a motor control as well as the ECU. So it's not going to be ending up at only motor control. It is going to be communicating with the vehicle also in terms of understanding and giving a feedback to the customer as well as the automaker that, yes, there is a problem in the vehicle, and it gets on your mobile phone and on the dashboard, and it gets to track and analytically give you data is where the change is. So whosoever does that, I think any simple controller is available right now, right? You throttle and the scooter will move. It's available. But when it is giving you a feedback, that technology has to come in where the controller speaks to the environment of the body, which is moving. And based on the environment, it gives you signaling that, yes, there is a problem, it is good, it is bad, and behavioral patterns get tracked. And accordingly, the amendments to the motor and the vehicle design gets designed by the OEM. That's where the technology will come into play. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So to begin with, we will be doing 2 and 3 wheelers, and then we will move to 4 wheelers. Is that what
I think we are fairly sure about India's priority. I will not say that India is not going to be in an EV space for 4 wheelers, but I think that the priority is definitely 2 and 3 wheelers because that's where the volumes are. You don't want to play with only 5,000 cars in a month, right? If you're talking about it, it's 5 lakh units, and you are supplying 1 lakh units. Is where the product is going to be. And that's where the scalability will come into it. That's where the commercials will fall into. And that's what the focus is. Given that, we are not saying no to the 4 wheelers.
So, and sir, what's the name that you mentioned? MCU is one thing, and what's the other called?
Can you please repeat that?
you mentioned MCU, you will not be doing just the MCU, but also MECU or something like that you mentioned. Right? What's the name? Sorry?
ECU, Engine Control Unit. In this, there is no engine, right?
Okay.
The motor speaks to the entire dynamics in terms of battery management system, to the circuits, to the lights, and it controls the behavior and shares the data with OEM, which is the scooter maker, as well as with the user. So it says that you are braking hard, you are braking very hard, so improve on it. You are braking too soft, improve on it. You are cornering too hard, improve on it. So the customer gets a constant feedback and improvement on the subject gets reflected to him as well as to the builder. So that's what the technology is going to be going forward. That's what we feel.
Understood. And sir, if you can also talk about the other products that you mentioned in the last call.
So we also spoke about some of the casting products where we are trying to work out for lightweighting the products, where the products are right now under the stage of validation at the customer end, because obviously it's a new technology and it is coming with the customer consent. There is a commercial impact on the car in terms of becoming expensive, but then it is going to be competing when you have export ambitions. So we feel that it will also take 1 or 2 months to get into that purview from the customer to reveal these products. And yes, as soon as anything gets broken down into these 2-3 areas where we are trying to see the next level of growth for company to move to a $1 billion club, is not going to come only from wheels. Yes, there is a huge market, but yes, these are smaller sunrise industries, which is where we feel that the growth is going to come in, and with not a very large capex which is involved.
Okay. And the software also is something that you had mentioned. Software for EVs.
No, so we didn't say software. It was mostly of the controllers that we were talking about.
Understood. And something related to, import, alternatives to imports. I'm not sure if it is same as control units or it's something.
The motors which are almost 70-75% is getting imported and getting retrofitted and getting it to the customer. I think it's a huge industry which is being served to the tune of 50,000 motors every month, which is organized market. I don't even know about the unorganized market, which may be another 20-30,000 numbers. So you can imagine that there are 80-90,000 units which are getting sold every month. Average utilization at this price is close to 10,000 rupees. So numbers are with you in terms of localization. And I think that India has all the potential to do so with best of the cost and best of quality and reliability and localized. So that's where the focus is. And we feel that we have the capability to build it. Given that we should have a good technology partner, we should have good technology. Otherwise, there is no point to be a third world technology and trying to build something which we don't know.
Sure. And that will be the average selling price for,
12,000 rupees.
Content per vehicle. Sorry, what it is?
It's 10 to 12,000 rupees per vehicle.
10 to 12. Okay. And by when do you think these new initiatives like aluminum die casting related products or the EV related products?
Hear from us. In this financial year, you will hear the good news coming in.
Sorry, in this financial year?
Is this current financial year?
Current financial year. Okay. Yeah. Okay, sir. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Rajat Setia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thanks once again. And so we had, I think, also mentioned about OTR wheels. Are we not already doing them or we want to add more SKUs? How is it?
So OTR, we are already doing it. It's the expansion of the market and getting into different countries, which is already in place. And I feel by November, the first wheel will roll out from our factories for sampling and distribution to the European side. We are on track on that.
Okay, understood. So we also mentioned about increasing our alloy wheels capacity to 10 million units in 5 years. From 3 million today. So how much of this incremental 7 million you think is we are planning for export market?
I think export is the market where I think Indian market will grow at 12 to 15% CAGR over next 3 to 5 years. I feel the 7 million market will eventually go to a 10-12 million kind of a market over the next 3-5 years. That is fine. I think out of which we can say supply 30% of it or 40% of it, and we are at 5 million for domestic market, 6 million for domestic market. And balance has to be exports, because export is a very, very large industry, which is 350 million versus maybe India's 10 million or 12 million. I think that's where the focus is. And there is no doubt that India cannot compete. The golden opportunity which has now come to India right now as we speak is the energy crisis in the Europe. There is a currency crisis in some of the European nations. There are currency crises in, I'm sorry, in some of the African nations. And I feel that that's an opportunity.
Understood. And so what's the capex needed to grow this capacity from 3 million to whatever number at the same location in India, at the same location wherever we are making right now?
So if you look at, I guess, the initial capex that we did to put up the 3 million at the start was almost around 350 crore.
Sorry.
I guess we can probably cut down on some bit of it because the land is already there. But I guess still we'll be hovering at, because the inflation has already taken place. So 350 crore will be the kind of value, so 350 to 400.
Okay. So another 3 million, a similar number basically. Okay, and if we have to, like we are saying, we may not do everything at the same location. So if we go to the new location, then this number will get bumped up by another 1500 crores or more.
It depends on which location you are shifting and what is the price of the land that you are acquiring.
Also, I think that what Naveen said is a strategic importance, that the port should be near, because raw material is almost 100% imported, because of the quality standards which are getting maintained, and I feel that's a primary condition. And obviously, industrial belt is very, very important, where harmony of industry is very, very important, because when you're talking about these capacities, these are single source kind of a programs, and you can't have issues. So I think Gujarat fits in good. We have land also. The only risk that we see is that, you know, one location, 8 million, 9 million is a risk. But yes, given the conditions, there will be umpteen opportunities which will be available organically as well as inorganically to build up capacity, and that is going to be dependent on the business plan. I think as we speak, 3 million to 4 million is already done, and it will be on stream over the next 5-6 months. And then once we see the and assess the situation, I think another 1 million, 2 million, 3 million will be built up based on the market conditions.
And sir, I think you also mentioned that in alloys, in the global markets, in alloy side, there are hundreds of players, but in steel side, there are only 10 to 12 companies making that. So if you can help us understand why such a wide difference in terms of the industry players and the way industry works in the two segments.
So I think alloy side, there are only 10 players which are above 10 million capacity. So you can imagine that the big boys are only 10.
Okay.
The big boys are to the tune of 50, 50, 60, 60 million kind of a capacity. You know, steel wheels, because, you know, the demand is very less globally, because developed nations are already at 90 to 95% alloy wheels. That's why, you know, these are proprietary businesses running in Europe. They're running in Turkey. They're running in Morocco. Some of them are running in China also. And some of them are in Brazil and US. And people have not invested too much of money into that, because they are loss making for them, because they have to compete with India, they have to compete with China. So this capacity will always be a challenge, and any financial loss to them is a good news for India, because it keeps on building those kind of capacities which you are building in India at a cheaper cost, much more viable to compete with those guys. And in alloy, as we said, that, you know, there are many, many players, because there is umpteen demand, 315 million, as I said. And in those 315 million, the sizes, the complexity and the design changes are very, very critical. And they are very frequent because of the aesthetic looks. So that's why, I mean, there are guys who are making only 50,000 wheels a month, but they are making very discreet kind of wheels, because that's what the market is. So it's a very different kind of market than steel, as we speak.
Sure. platform. And are we also looking to acquire to add capacity in the alloy side?
Yes. So as I said, organically or inorganically, as we did this capex, I think Naveen shared the number of 120, 125 crores. So you can imagine that 125 crores, we are going to be adding up close to a million kind of a capacity to create a top line of close to 400 odd crores at an asset turn of close to 3 times. So this is what the factor of safety with the inorganic growth is going to be. But there comes a risk also. So there will be opportunities which will be seen globally, because these energy crises will surely make some of the guys go bankrupt in Europe. And we are very, very sure of that. So if good asset comes in, which is recently closed or which was serving to an OEM, so it's easy, because the machines are standard, which are coming from Europe to Italy to China to Korea to Taiwan. These are standard machines and should not be a big worry if you take them by running them for 5 years that they are going to die down. And if you can take advantage of that situation, why not? It saves a lot of capex.
Sure. So those targets may be outside India, in Europe largely, given the current situation.
Yes. So the way that we did, I think last one is from Malaysia. It was a close plan that we took over. I think next one, anybody, because there are already offers which are coming from Europe where the plants are getting shut. There are plants which are getting shut as early as 3 months back. So you can imagine that there are much more cases which can come in going forward in maybe 3 to 6 months. And if you want to do that, it's a good case to build that capacity at maybe half a cost. Why not?
Understood. So finally,
so sorry to interrupt, but for any follow-up, may we request you to rejoin the queue, please. The next question is from the line of Prolin Nandu from Goldfish Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi team. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. You mentioned that the realization in alloy wheel is 4.5 times versus that of steel. Could you help me understand how are the margins contribution margin different between the two categories?
So we'll talk about, it will not be fair to talk EBITDA percentages because raw materials keep on changing. Yes, EBITDA per wheel, we do that for both segments separately.
So in terms of percentage, I guess this is the number which is handy. So when we say 4x in terms of realization, I guess the 4x is also the difference in terms of the raw material cost as well. So aluminum is roughly 3.5-4 times the steel. In terms of EBITDA percentages, I guess EBITDA in aluminum will be hovering in the range of 14 to 16 post the increase that we have seen in the aluminum. The similar EBITDA in steel, specifically let's say if it is steel, will be in the range of 8 to 9 odd percent. In export market, this number will be closer to 10.5-15%.
Sorry, I missed that export part. 10.5 to 11% you mentioned in the export market?
8 to 9% in the steel PV domestic and between 12.5 to 13% in PV exports.
Okay. But you again,
alloy will be hovering between 14 to 16 odd percent.
Okay, so broadly, broadly, what to equate between steel and aluminium? Aluminium margins are what, 50% higher than steel? I mean, is that a fair way to look at it? I mean, by the range that you have been given?
Yeah, I think it's a fair thing to do.
Great. Thank you for that. And on this AMW, NCLT issue, right? I mean, I see that in September, this Triton Motors have probably approached Supreme Court they also want to probably bid for the subsidiary in which we have bid. So what is the status there? Can there be any delays? And just an additional question to that, what is the status of the plant right now? Is it running or is it completely closed? What's the status of the plant?
Okay. So first on the Triton part, I used to see Triton approach NCLT to participate in the process. So NCLT approved in their favor. So we moved to NCLAT. So NCLAT decided the matter in our favor. So now the Triton, as you said, has approached Supreme Court. In fact, next hearing is now scheduled in December. But as far as law is concerned, I guess our position is pretty secure. No one can be allowed to participate at such a later stage when the matter is already there with NCLT. Otherwise, it will open a Pandora box, because now every time anyone can come up and say, I'll probably like to maximize the value, once the value is there in the public domain. So as far as law is concerned, I guess the position is fairly secure for us. Now it is just a matter of Supreme Court taking up this matter and deciding it. So December is the month where the hearing is scheduled. We expect this probably will get sorted out within December itself if the hearing do take place. And then matter will again fall back to NCLT for taking up the matter further, which probably will take another 2 to 3 months. So as far as the entire process is concerned, this probably will get concluded either at the end of Q4 or maybe at the start of Q1.
Sure. And what is the status of the plant? Is it running or,
It is not serving anyone today.
Okay. So, I mean, the further the delay, is it possible that the assumptions that we are working with in terms of how much can it produce without any capex, or do we need to then spend higher capex to get it?
In any case are intact. So 6.5-7 million that we have indicated is something which is readily available, irrespective of whether the plant is operating as on date or is shut. In fact, when we have shut down the paint plant, we shut it down post following the due process so that we don't encounter any problem when we restart the plant. So we were involved when we were shutting down that particular facility, and due processes were followed. So there is no additional incremental cost that we believe we need to incur, at least to get the 6.5-7 million.
Understood. Okay, fair point. And again, sorry, coming back to this point that you made, that organic growth organic capex will give us 3x asset turn. Was this specifically on alloy wheels, right? I understand, because in steel we are relying a lot on AMW, right?
I said inorganic growth.
Sorry, inorganic growth. Okay. So what is the asset turn? So typically that, one should look at when it comes to alloy wheel?
For an asset turn, I think it's a 2x asset turn, which is for a organic greenfield project that you will try to do it. And that is good at a 18%, 17% kind of a margin. But if you get a good asset to convert with your existing debottling exercise and you get it at 3x, 3.5x, then obviously it's a kick to eat.
Right.
But obviously, when you talk about a fresh plant to be deployed, because now the plant does not have capacity to add to 4 million by debottlenecking. We are stuck there.
Understood.
Anything which is going to be done to make 4 million to 5 million, 6 million will be greenfield.
Okay.
And that greenfield needs to be strategic in terms of equipment, in terms of the setup. I think anything which is above 2x is a great thing to do.
Understood. And when you mentioned that you are getting some offers from Europe because plants are shutting down, are we going to acquire some capacity there, or are we going to acquire some asset there and probably,
interest is not going to be running the plant there in Europe. Not a sensible It's only the machinery and everything which is there, and we know the machinery because there are standard manufacturers where the equipments are very standard for past 10 years. We just pick up, lift them to India and run it.
Fair. And then what might happen, that if you might get something good in the market, then you will have to probably spend something on land as well, right? Is that a fair way to look at it?
Here, that's not a problem. I think we have 35 acres of land, should not be a big worry. Strategic to see what customer says, but for surely it is going to be near to the port.
Sure. And last question on this motor and controller piece with ECU that you mentioned. You mentioned that the capex is not that large, but what could be the number that we should work with, right? If the capex is not large, then I understand this whole integration of wheels and motors, right? OEM does not need to go to many other ANC, but then if the capex is large, what are the entry barriers that we are looking at, right?
I think capex is not a entry barrier in this. It's technology which is the entry barrier.
Okay.
I think capex will be 50-60 crores at best to start with at a scalable size, and that's not enough knowing that the opportunity is maybe $1 billion.
Okay.
Opportunity is $1 billion for sure. I think over the next 5 years, this opportunity will be a $1 billion opportunity. Can we grab
1,000 crore, can we grab maybe a 500 crore kind of a revenue? It all depends not on your agility to adopt, but agility to develop and demonstrate your quality of product. I think that is the only...
And, Mr. Sure, and all this... Sorry, I'll come back into you. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, please limit your questions to one per participant. For any follow-up, may be requested to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is mainly on the finance cost and payables. I think we have our payables has, we paid back our payables quite fast this first half. And any reason for that? And is that reflecting in better margins also for us because we paid back sooner?
So there are a couple of points to it, Puneet. I guess one is the part of these savers are now part of buyer's credit as well. So if you look at in the short-term borrowings, some part of that alloy wheel creditors are converted into BCI. The BCI has increased by almost 80 CR. So if you include it, that 80 CR in the cash flow in the operations, I guess the number will be a positive number. Second, we have definitely paid around 25 to 30 CR additionally just to cut down on our overall costs that are under negotiation with the suppliers. So I guess there are some key suppliers that we are in discussion with to get the TOD kind of structure, so which probably will start reflecting in our P&L starting this quarter. And part of it is also to a decline in inventories as well. So we have cut down on our lifting as well. So part of it is already reflecting in the cash flow. If you look at inventory, I guess it's almost 55, 56 odd CR, which is partly getting offset by the increase in the aluminium inventories. Otherwise, that inventory decline in the steel is almost around 70, 75 CR. So that accumulation of everything is reflecting in that creditors that you are looking at. But what will happen in H2 is most of it will get mitigated. So whatever cash from operations will be there will get directly flow and will become the part of net cash from the operating activities. So you will not find these differences in H2.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening team. Thank you for the opportunity and taking my question. Could you please give us the volume and value split across the steel domestic segments, if that's handy?
I think this detail we'll try to share with Amit.
Sure.
Because it's a matrix which is a little larger. Amit, will that be fine?
All right. Sure. That's fine. I'll take that offline.
Matrix will be very large in terms of writing. So we'll share a common matrix with Amit in terms of segment rights.
Perfect. That's great. And just one question on the gross profit side. Given steel price movement this quarter, was there any inventory loss or was there anything one-off on this quarter on the gross profit side? Or was it more or less a normalized quarter for us now? Q2.
I guess there is a reduction that we are seeing in the prices. I guess that impact of that will be visible in this quarter, that is Q3. And I guess for this entire H2, based on the amount which is settled as on date, that amount comes at around 10 to 12 odd CR. I guess that probably will come in, what we believe is majority will come in Q3.
So 10, 12 odd CR of realization, that was less than what we should have gotten, which will come in Q3. Is that what you're saying from a cash perspective?
What is happening? So there is settlement which has happened between the steel supplier and the OEMs and the steel suppliers and us. So there is some reduction which is now started to come in. So these reductions now is getting settled. So there will be an inventory loss of around 10 crore to 12 crore which will be there, which will probably hit our P&L, majority of it will get hit in Q3 and some part of it will flow to Q4. If you recall, last year we had inventory gains to the tune of almost around 60 CR. Again, this year we are expecting this loss based on the settlement which is already done to the tune of around 10 to 12 CR. So impact of this will be visible in Q3 and Q4.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devansh Nigotia from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I'm just a little bit confused over here. We mentioned that the inventory losses will come in next two quarters, but generally, our closing inventory, the write-downs for the closing inventory would happen as the delta of steel prices from the opening date of the quarter to the closing date. So why it did not come in last two quarters and will come in next two quarters, sir? If you can just elaborate a bit more on that.
So in this, there were no settlement which has happened in Q1 and Q2. Those settlements got delayed. So those settlements have now started happening in October itself. So that the impact of that probably will fall in Q3. And based on how you are utilizing your inventories, a probably smaller amount of it will fall to Q4 as well. So that is why the Q1 and Q2 are not carrying any of these impacts because the settlements have not happened.
In case of some global peers like ISM, Exxon, I mean, they claim that the preference in US is going back towards the local suppliers because of the late time in supplying the wheels. So is that what has also impacted us this year in comparison to last year? And going forward, if you can also share your outlook on exports for the next 2-3 years, and what is the kind of scale you are looking at?
Perspective of settlements, as I said, there is no problem, and these are if we do it after in the month of December also, retrospective action will be done. The way that steel settles with us, we settle with customers, so it should not be a big worry. I think from a perspective of exports, as I said, that there is a definite reason to slow down, and it is very much visible knowing that US, which was running at close to 17 million rate, is running at 13.5 to 14 million rate. Partly, some of that impact is because of chips, but definitely there is an impact coming in from the perspective of disposable income not finding place for the cars and these disposable income spends. So we feel that inflationary pressures which are visible in Europe as well as America, as well as the overall sentiment towards procurement of a discretionary item which is like a car or a replacement of a car, can definitely take a pause. And there is a sharp cut which is happening on the sides of exports, and we feel that despite that, including the domestic factors of improvement, I think business is doing good. On the top line, we should be doing close to 500 odd crores on the top line in terms of addition. In terms of apple to apple, two financial years, 450 if you do on a non-inventory versus inventory gain, I think that's also a good factor. And we feel that sooner or later, exports will also bounce back. I think H2 is where we feel that H1 has already started seeing some green shoots, and H2 will see exports of alloy wheels also and exports of the passenger vehicle wheels also. And we feel that H1 will be, at least from a perspective of growth from H1 to H2, H2 will be far better than H1. And from a scalability point of view, I feel that, as I answered it earlier only, 350 million wheels, alloy wheels, we know the world. So I think, can we sell a million, 2 million, 3 million over the next 2-3 years? Definitely we can do that. And pricing should not be a worry. 15-16% margins, capacity is there. Why not? So scalability is definitely there.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keval Shah from GT Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, does the energy crisis-led opportunity from Europe, does that hold true for steel wheel rims as well, or is it only for alloy wheel rims? Because I think we sort of have much of a steel wheel rim exposure because of the scale advantage and our sort of competency. So does that does this crisis tend to benefit us on the steel wheel part as well?
So as I said, energy crisis, so power cost is definitely a largest contributor to wheel manufacturing, whether it is alloy or steel. And in steel side, power contributes to closer to, I think, 20%. And I feel anybody will get hit because of that. And it will have its own impact for shifting the base from a Turkey or a European side to an Indian side. And right now, I think it's not about demand at all. I think it's about safety, and people are looking for safety. And we feel that longer term discussions on these subjects will definitely be fruitful for a country like India.
Okay, but there is no real visibility as to for the from exports point of view for let's say FY24 any conversation that we have had and which have actually sort of got converted because of this problem as yet.
I think 23-24 will be a tough ask to say, but I think from H2 side, as we said, that you know there are green signals which are already coming in. As I said, there are plants which are shutting down. There are emergency lines which people have started to come in and say, "Gayari, bana doge aap." So we are into that discussions with many people. The entire export team is in America right now with, you know, almost 11 customers of emergency meetings. So let's see how these meetings go in over the next 10 to 15 days. And we feel that we are fairly confident that the H2 is going to be far confident and far stronger than H1.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajat Setia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks once again. So one last question about the debt levels. So given we are looking to add capacity in alloy side and probably in AMW will do some capex and we may acquire some additional capacities or new products we are talking about. So all in all, capex plans we may have for the next 2-3 years, how do you look at the absolute level of debt on the books? Do you think it will remain at similar levels? Have we peaked out on the debt side or it will go up from here onwards?
So I guess based on the kind of cash accrual which is there in the business and the kind of repayments which are scheduled over let's say next 3 years, I guess this year is almost 85 crore getting paid off. Next year I guess is a similar amount of the repayment liabilities which are there. So we believe that the overall debt should actually come down with the kind of cash accruals. Yes, there are projects which are there on the table, but most of that should get funded via accruals.
Okay, so current level of debt is probably the, when we talk about term loans, it is probably the peak level, right? We are not going to go up from here.
Yes. So there are repayment schedules which will be followed. And endeavor will be to fund all that expansion plan that we have via accruals. And I guess there are decent amount of accruals which are there with EBITDA at 450 crore plus.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Hiranandani for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, management team, for spending your valuable time and providing us this opportunity to host the call. Sir, would you like to have any closing comments?
Thanks a lot, Amit, for giving us the opportunity to share our thoughts with the entire investment fraternity. And I thank all for giving us this opportunity to share our thoughts. And we feel that based on the suggestions that mostly are coming from all of you guys, we are trying to change the mode of communication, and we feel that from the business point of view, India has a great opportunity to grow, and I feel that we want to be a part of it, and we feel that any suggestions which comes in from the perspective can be communicated to Amit to further give the thoughts in a clearer manner. And once again, I thank all the participants to giving us the opportunity to speak and share our thoughts. Thanks a lot once again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Smiths Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.